What are the fruits of the Spirit and how do they grow? Hello, I'm Dave Thomas. This is Probe. Welcome. We are continuing our discussion of the Holy Spirit, different aspects of the Holy Spirit. For our consideration this week is the question of the fruits of the Spirit. That the Bible talks not only about gifts of the Spirit that we talked about last week, but talks also about fruits of the Spirit. And I don't mind saying that as I have worked on these lessons for this quarter, I regard this as the loveliest of them all. I like very much to contemplate the fruits of the Spirit and to think about them. And I'm happy to have my same conversation partners as last week, Dr. Bruce Johansson and Dr. Carl Kossard, both of them teachers of the New Testament. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Dave.
You know, I'm intrigued by the fact that when God calls people to faith, he brings us into community, that there are very few people, Christians, who are asked to walk through the kingdom by themselves. Hmm. That out of the rubble of earth, if you will, God is building a new society into which he calls people. And it's interesting to me to contemplate the fact that this society is quite diverse. It's diverse by virtue of creation. You know, at creation, we were all made different. We each have our own sense of being and conscience, and we have our own personalities, and these things rub against each other. Also, by virtue of conversion or regeneration, we are unique and distinct, and we rub against each other. And it becomes an interesting question how we live together. And as I thought about that, it seems to me the gifts of the Spirit play a role in that. Mm. What can we say about the fruits of the Spirit?
Well, I think this is one of the high points of the work of the Spirit, because as you said, okay, we're communities, and as communities, individuals have their own sense of being, and we see often conflict because we relate to each other. But the fruit of the Spirit is what binds us together, because it makes that life in that community livable.
Yeah. And how does it do that, Carl? That's what intrigues me. Mm. Because what really are the fruits of the Spirit?
I was looking over the list here in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. How many of those can you have all by yourself?
Interesting.
I don't know. You know, what intrigues me about those.
You'd be happy, joy, maybe.
Yeah, you could. But not all of them.
No.
Community.
Yeah.
What intrigues me, though, those are qualities, aren't they? That those are characteristics that develop in people's lives and in their characters, is it not right? And in their minds.
Well, this is amazing. Go ahead.
When you say qualities, but they are always qualities that are done.
Well, I think both end. Because yeah. I think that what happens here is that when a person comes to faith, sometimes to their own surprise, they start seeing in their lives some of these qualities that were not there before.
Oh, yes.
Like that of joy. Yeah. That I have known people who were very unhappy, but when they come to faith, almost by surprise, they say, you know, I'm happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
People who were never patient develop patience. You know, so I think that, in a sense, these qualities appear in embryonic form or in initial form. Yeah. But that one of the things that intrigues me about the fruits of the Spirit is that they are ours to grow.
Yeah.
See, and I although I don't like this, it intrigues me that oftentimes those fruits grow in difficult circumstances.
Usually they grow the fastest in difficult circumstances.
You know, it seems to me that oftentimes these fruits are grown in silence. They grow within a person. I'm thinking here, gentlemen, of for example, long suffering. That's actually one of the most intriguing of the fruits, because it means what? What does it mean to be long suffering? Well, it means to bear long with aggravating people, for example.
Yes. Yeah.
And I chuckle at the fact that if you want to grow a fruit of the Spirit, particularly the one of long-sufferingness, what do you have to do?
Go You, challenging time.
Yeah, you have to go through the business of developing. It develops as you deal, as you're patient and deal along with aggravating people. But I want to throw one other thing out here before we talk about the specific gifts, and I'm glad you read that list there, Bruce. But I'm intrigued by the fact that if you belong to a congregation where the fruits of the Spirit are present, is it not possible to say that that church is Spirit-filled?
Well, I guess I'd raise a question. You said if. Does that imply that some churches don't have the fruit of the Spirit?
I would say there are some where they're not very manifest, yes. And I think that it's possible for us to squelch those, or the development of those, not the initial appearance of them. But, I guess I'm saying that in some churches I don't see many of the fruits of the Spirit. But I would argue that in a church where people allow those to grow and prosper, that we can say that that church is Spirit-filled.
Yeah. Well, Paul's with you. He describes churches in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The church is the temple of God, and his Spirit dwells in it. And if they destroy the church, then that's a very powerful passage.
Well, I guess this raises the question, because you said the if part. I'm going back to the if part again. So what if I say, well, I'm just not a very patient person. It's not my fruit. It's not my fruit. You know, the same we have gifts that, you know, it's not my gift to maybe be a craftsman. Can we say, well, that we can pick and choose in these gifts, or are these gifts all or nothing?
Well,
I think they need to be there.
Yeah,
in some way, and they need to be growing.
Yeah, I think that at conversion they take up residence in people's lives, as I mentioned earlier, in embryonic form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the challenge comes is how much will they develop in your life and mine.
That's right. See. And that'll be different for each one of us.
Let's look at some of these here quickly. Love. What would you say about love as a fruit of the Spirit?
Number one on the list.
Okay.
Yeah. Without it. Not.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would you say it is, though, if you were going to describe it?
Well, I don't think it's the natural love. I mean, we see love portrayed all around us in society today, romance, novels, movies, etc. But those are often very me-centered. But I think here the love is that agape, which is that other-centered. It's not something for me, but it's...
I seek other people's well-being, even if it costs me.
Yes.
So this is a kind of a principled thing.
Mm-hmm. It's an attitude, too. I'm going back to this thing that you were talking about before. Of these being qualities. Mm-hmm. Before they ever manifest themselves in action, they have to be there in an attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the other hand, practicing them does help to build the attitude.
Yeah.
It's kind of a circular thing.
It's interesting, this one too, because in Romans 5, it talks about the Holy Spirit, you know pours
the Spirit,
the love of God into our hearts.
Yeah.
So I think this is the central one. It's also interesting, I've heard people say, well, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Yeah.
And then the rest really are just, you know, more qualifiers of what love is all about, the centrality of love.
I struggle with that, but I do think that there is an element or an aspect to love that comes only from understanding God's love.
Yes.
And receiving that.
Yeah, that's right.
That God loves in a way that human beings never love.
That's right.
You know, he loves even the unlovely, and we tend not to do that. And but you can see in human lives, especially those who come to faith, that the ability to love like that does come.
Yes. It's very important to contrast the fruits of the Spirit with the works of the flesh. Because Paul uses the word flesh not in its physical sense, but in the power of unregenerate human nature.
Yeah, yeah. And so that would be the opposite almost.
That's the opposite. Yeah, yes.
What about joy as a fruit? What would you say about that?
I think that's a if you're forgiven and if you know how to forgive, there's no way you can't experience joy.
And what would you say joy is? How would you describe joy? Happiness?
It's more than just a happy feeling.
Yeah, it's beyond. I mean, it has elements of all of it. It's elements of peace, because you're at peace, it brings joy. So it's a whole package, I think.
Yeah. You know, to me, joy is a deep-seated inner contentment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
That actually nobody can take away from you.
That's right. Peace, deep peace inside. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, peace is the next one.
Yes, it is.
Similar to joy. A joyous and peaceful person is wonderful to be around.
There are people, I think it's Barclay, who says peace is not the lack of noise or the lack of things. Peace is actually a dynamic thing.
Mm.
We wish peace to people.
Oh, okay. So it's an active.
It's something that is outgoing and not just merely a stillness and absence.
Mm.
And well, then we can see that in Paul, these letters, grace and peace to you.
That's true. That's true. And then, of course, we already mentioned the one, long-suffering. Mm. That one really intrigues me. It is the ability to endure long with even rancorous people.
In Paul's First Thessalonians, he talks about the labor. He doesn't say the work of love. The labor of love.
In other words, it has to be endured sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
What about gentleness? You know, sometimes we associate gentleness with weakness.
Mm.
But I'm intrigued by some of the Bible commentators who point out that gentleness is a capacity of the strong.
Yes.
And I was reminded of a Belgian horse that I once dealt with. Great big Belgian draft horse that scared me. I was camping and I woke up and here it was hanging over my fence. And I realized that it could have trumped me in a moment, but it was very gentle.
Mm-hmm.
And when I put my hand on it, I could feel its great strength, but it's very gentle.
Yeah.
It made me very
beautiful
happy.
Metaphor.
What about faith?
Faith?
Yeah, faithfulness.
How would you describe faith? Faith is faithfulness?
Well, I was looking at my translation. It was actually described as faithfulness. So.
Yeah. I think that's a good affair. But it's also the capacity to trust.
Mm-hmm.
Even when things look grim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is essential in a community scene of a church, for example.
It's without trust, a community is
destroyed.
Destroyed.
Yeah. So the picture that emerges here then is that as the Christian community is brought together, not only is it gifted for service by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit creates within that community these qualities resident in people that allows us to get along well. And, I'm intrigued by Jesus' words that they will know you are my disciples if what?
If you love one another.
And so there is the expectation here that the community, the believing community, will become, in a sense, an exemplary and a happy community.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings to mind some occasions. I've passed at a number of churches, and I remember one where it was the happiest place.
Mm-hmm.
That people were excited to come in there. It was a little place. Mm-hmm. There was only about 20 people who went to church there. But I remember one man in particular who would bound up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him one day why he was so happy. And he said, well, I live in a home where they don't understand my deepest longings.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, as I drive from my home here, I know I'm coming to the place where people not only know, but they share my greatest longings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful.
And you know, he had found in the community these very things, and they were showing up in his life as well. I guess the question that confronts us is there anything we can do to help this fruits of the Spirit grow? I don't know if you have any quick thoughts on that.
Openness.
Set your mind on the Spirit. Romans 8.
Let it happen, in other words. Don't be fighting all the time. Well, thank you very much. I hope that our listeners, we as well, will learn to enjoy and appreciate the fruits of the Spirit. They are beautiful things.
Mm-hmm.
My thanks to you, gentlemen, for being here, and to Susan Michaels, our program engineer. And thanks to our listeners for Probe. I'm Dave Thomas.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.